you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Sticking with strong brands, it's 4 minutes past seven. Sanlam released its interim results this afternoon. I'm excited to speak to Group CFO Abigail Mukuba, regarding this robust operating performance across the group. Earnings momentum from financial services increased 19% per share, over 7 billion rand earned in the first half of the year. Abigail, to what do you attribute this, and welcome to Kaya Biz.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me on your show. Besides the effort and dedication from people, I think it's also attributable to the general performance across our lines of business, as well as our geographies. So I think the strategy that we hold in terms of diversifying and making sure that the business is diversified is paying off. Also, the M&A activity that we've been engaging in over the last few years is also showing that it's delivering on some of that of the synergies. So it's really a combination of things that have lined up, but all brought together by obviously the dedication and the hard work of our people.
Fantastic. Okay, so I want to come to the M&A, but let's speak a little bit about the organic growth, as you said, in these various divisions. Something that I think tends to impact most of our listeners most regularly, of course, is general insurance, which is sort of delivered through your short-term insurer, Santam. Tell us a little bit about that strength.
So, correct. We've seen a very strong turnaround in our Santam business, which is our general insurer primarily in South Africa. We've seen very good underwriting margins and a robust performance in that business, particularly driven by the impact of the management actions that that team had put in from purposes of underwriting. They continue to experience bad weather-related claims, but overall claims at large that they have seen in this period were lower, particularly in their conventional insurance business. Whilst you're talking about the general insurance, that business is also driven largely by the general insurance in the Africa continent, in the Pan-Africa business, which also saw earnings that were supported by higher investment return margins on insurance funds. So, again, a business that's performed very well, whether in South Africa, in Pan-Africa, or in India. We've seen very strong growth trajectory in all those three businesses.
So, two sides to that. You mentioned weather-related, and certainly as we move up the continent, this can only persist with greater aggression as the climate crisis intensifies. We're almost now accustomed to an April East Coast bluster in the form of some kind of a tropical storm. Western Cape, of course, continues to always, that tropical storm making its way all the way up towards Mozambique and even a little bit further up the coast, Malawi. Well, Malawi is inland, but a little bit further up the East Coast. The Western Cape and Southern Cape exposed to fire quite regularly. I don't know if that's more disaster than weather for you, but you mentioned underwriting improvements. So have those taken into account the shifting climate conditions?
Yes, they do take into account the shifting climate conditions. So if I can just maybe give an example,
yes.
As part of our underwriting process, part of the process that the actuaries look at is something that they call geocoding. So if you stay, as you were mentioning now, by the coast where we know that it's prevalent to tropical storms, as an example, versus if you stay inland where maybe there's drought or a different weather event, what they do is with that geocoding, they're able to quote you a insurance premium that is taking into account your specific circumstances. In that process, as an example, in this reporting period, because of geocoding underwriting processes, they were able to avoid about 150 million rands worth of losses because of avoiding business where it was actually high risk area that we should not be insuring. I think what it does mean in the long run is it means that you need to reconsider whether there are environments that are considered to be uninsurable, or you need to consider different partnerships between, let's say, a Santam or business and local municipality, to be able to educate people in terms of where they build, where they don't build, so that we reduce the exposure when you do have weather-related events that are unfortunate.
And then just one last question within the general insurance space. Will this full year, when we get to the full year results for 23-24, will this be your full annual reporting period in the sort of, let's call it, a normalized state post COVID? Obviously, business insurance and all kinds of other claims might have impacted the company.
Yeah, well, as you're saying it, I'm smiling because I'm thinking it depends on what normalized is, particularly general insurance. Because if I look at the 6 months, we all keep saying we're praying that we don't have any adverse weather event that happens, because and that's the whole point of insurance, I suppose, to cover you in case of adverse events, right? But we also pray that those events don't happen. Then one could argue that's a normalized year. I think at the end of the day, the issue is to be in a position that when there are those adverse events, we actually prepared. And part of these underwriting management actions that I talk about are trying to prepare us for that. Yes, it should be a normalized year.
Fabulous. Life insurance and health, what drove those double-digit new business volumes?
Again, on this one, we saw good growth, particularly in the life insurance side. We saw good growth across all the regions. In South Africa, we saw about 17% increase. Retail mass, which is what we call our entry-level business, that did about 10% increase, with Capitec providing a strong support for the individual life. We've also seen, if you look at the life business in Pan Africa, that also performed very well, what you call, if you compare it to 2023. The performances were largely in the major countries, particularly linked to Morocco. We did see a bit of foreign currency devaluation negative impact, for example, in Egypt. But overall, from a diversification of that portfolio, even with those foreign currency, unfortunate movement or negative movement, we still saw strong performance in that business. I think from the health side, we now own a larger percentage of our Afrocentric business, so that increase was primarily driven by the increase in the ownership structure. Mm. But that business is experiencing challenging trading conditions. But we are putting a new management team, and we are prioritizing performance in that regard to make sure that that business turns around.
All right. Huge checkbooks. Checkbook has been rolled out over the 23-24 period in terms of the acquisitions. Great bedding down that's already happening in terms of the Absa Alex Forbes and asset management business into the Sanlam stable. Are there any key highlights that you'd like to point us toward, whether it be Assupol or, you know, MultiChoice's insurance business? What are the shining lights in the M&A space?
So Assupol has not yet become effective yet. We're awaiting regulatory approvals to be finalized, but we do expect them imminently. So it hasn't contributed yet to the business, and we don't have insights, obviously, into their own performance. We rely on whatever publicly available information that is there. The same with MultiChoice, not yet effective, although announced. In terms of the M&A that has been effective and that we have integrated into the business, APSA and Alex Forbes both performing very well, and we're seeing the impact in their contribution into the business. BrightRock and Capital Legacy, Capital Legacy added about 55 million into our VNB, and we expect it to do great things in terms of contribution into the group. So overall, I think with the integration of the different M&A, it's going very well. The same with the Sanlam Allianz JV on the African continent. We've seen great performance in that regard, which has contributed to the bottom line. So I think we're very pleased in terms of delivery, not just on signing the chairs to do the M&A, but actually proving once we then own those businesses that we're able to deliver value out of them.
Brilliant. Final question. We've been speaking ad nauseum on the station, on this particular show, for several weeks about the two-pot system, which Sanlam says it is absolutely prepared for. You've referred in your, or at least Mr. Hanratty has referred in the sort of announcement that to a quote-unquote modest outflow. Do you have an estimation in terms of billions of rands and over what period?
So at this stage, it's only been 2-3 days, or let me say 4 days, since it's become effective. We have seen a large number of clients that have started to inquire about the two-pot fund withdrawal that they can do since the implementation. And both our call centers and online have been hectically busy, but we're able to deal with the higher volumes from a process readiness and a system readiness perspective. But in terms of projected outflows, for now, I think it's still early days for us to be able to say with some degree of comfort as to what we expect those outflows to be. But I think the one thing that I do want to flag is that whilst you might see outflows in the short term, in the long term, it should be good for the industry in the sense that because of the different pots, you now have a pot that forces preservation, whereas in the past, when you resigned, you had access to all your money. So now, because there's actually forced, if I call it forced, preservation, in the long run, it should actually create an industry that has, let's say, higher assets under management.
And resilience.
But also from a client perspective, I think it at least also enables them to still have a savings pot that they're able to retire with dignity at a later stage, even though they had the flexibility now to access some of those funds.
We love to hear it. Abigail Mukuba, thank you so much. The Chief Financial Officer of the Sanlam Group, talking to us about those interim results for the year 23 to 24. Really great news coming from the insurer, and a good sense of comfort.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.